Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. This is episode 95 of Art Talk, the last episode in the series of Why Old Masters Matter to Artists Today. And in this episode, I go in learning how to see style, technique, and secrets. So a painting can be looked at, but to truly see it, that's something else entirely. The old masters didn't just show the world, they constructed it layer by layer. And today, we'll learn how to see their work with clearer eyes. I will also do it in company of one of my favorites, Rembrandt van Rijn. So let me take you to a room in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. The light is low, the walls are velvet gray, and there, hung in a quiet common, is Rembrandt's self-portrait as Apostle Paul from 1661. Rembrandt is approximately 55 years old in this self-portrait, and he still looks at himself candidly. Well, you can see that because he is looking like that. He's looking in the mirror. When you do a self-portrait, you look in the mirror. And here he assumes to guise a personage of the Bible, the Apostle Paul. The sword protruding from his cloak and the manuscript in his hands are the apostle's customary attributes. By using his own face, Rembrandt encourages the viewer to engage personally with the saint. Now look closely. You'll notice something maybe strange, but the painting seems alive. It's not animated, it's not moving, but breathing, almost. Why? Because Rembrandt understood a secret. That technique is emotion and feeling. So let's explore that. The alchemy of paint. Rembrandt's paintings weren't born in a single stroke. He layered. And the process he uses in this portrait is called impasto. Paint applied often thickly with a knife or a stiff brush. You can actually see the ridges like topography. The wrinkles around the eye are not merely illusions, they have a physical depth. In the world of old masters, this was unusual. Many artists aimed for smooth, polished surfaces. And Rembrandt did too. He started with that, and then he evolves and it gets more expressionistic than ever, because Rembrandt wanted to paint flesh. His tactile surface is part of what makes his work so powerful. Not just imagery, but presence of the maker, the body remembered through pigment. So he uses light. Rembrandt is famous for his use of light. Light is a language. And you heard of the term chiaroscuro, Italian for light and dark. Well, Rembrandt didn't invent it, but he mastered it. And more than just shadow play, chiaroscuro in his hands became psychological. He based his subject in warmth and then he plunged the rest into mystery. You'll see this specifically in portraits and biblical scenes. A face illuminates as if from within, while the body recedes into near nothingness. For the viewer, the effect is magnetic. You just see a face. You feel its interior life. So light doesn't fall on the subject. It seems to come from them. Then we have the emotion. And perhaps the most startling thing about Rembrandt, and it is what he leaves out. Leaving out is crucial. And it's the same as music. The pauses within music are crucial. They create the music. It's the same as leaving out. And I remember as a student that the professor told me, Karin, stop painting what you think you see. You need the skill, but you also need the courage to leave out. So look again at one of his self-portraits. The background? Bare. The clothes? Often nondescript. And yet, the emotion is dense. The averted gaze, closed mouth, raised brows. Nothing is overdone, but everything is there. He had no interest in flattery. And when he painted over and over, it was truth. In skin, in shadow, in sorrow, in wisdom. And this is why his portraits feel as fresh now as they did then. They're not bound by era. They're bound only by a human condition. So what can old masters teach and Rembrandt teach us today? In today's art world, we often talk about expression, spontaneity, the raw idea. And those things matter, of course they do. But in a time where we've de-emphasized skill, where technical mastery can be treated as old-fashioned or even elitist, the old masters stand quietly in the corner, reminding us, technique is not a barrier to meaning, it's the way in. And Rembrandt, like so many of his peers, and I want to add all the female artists who really made a difference also, but weren't seen, not allowed, they also spend decades perfecting their craft. And Rembrandt, he copied, he studied, revised, he layered, he waited, he scraped back, and he started again. Why? Because he knew that to paint a face, not just the shape of it, but the weight of a life behind it, you need more than intention. You need tools, control, understanding, practice. Take chiaroscuro, the contrast of light and dark. It's not decoration. It's dramatic focus. It directs emotions, guides the eye, and sculpts the soul of the image. Sfumato, soft, smoky blending of edges. It teaches patience, subtlety, ambiguity. That truth isn't always outlined, and you just have to look in nature to see there are no outlines. Impasto, those peaks of paint that rise like scars on the surface, they aren't just expressive, they are embodied. And these aren't just techniques, they are disciplines. They teach the artist not just how to paint, but how to see. Not just how to show what's there, but how to go deeper, to speak something beneath the surface. And that's the point. The old masters don't ask us to replicate their style, but they challenge us to care, to take our tools seriously, to slow down time, to work towards truth, not just effect. And because without technique, we stay on the surface, but with it, we might just reach the soul. Learning to see like the old masters is not about nostalgia. It's about remembering that the craft still matters. That beauty is not always clean. And that light in the hands of someone who truly sees can carry the weight of every human. Now, as of next week, our talk begins with a brand new 8-part series. The Gaze Reclaimed, Women, Art, and the True Self. This series isn't about technique, it's not about collecting, it's about how women have been seen in art and how we can begin to see ourselves as women differently. We'll explore this through the eyes of art history, looking through the eyes of female artists starting in the Renaissance. And we'll ask, what happens when women stop being seen through someone else's eyes and start reclaiming the gaze as their own? I hope you'll join me. I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.